If you speak as it were the very utterances of God. Our churches would be radically changed if pastors just spoke God's word. Radically changed. But you have to reject your own wisdom and your own understanding and your own pride to do so. It's called to preach God's word.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today you'll be looking at a passage of Scripture that's vital for us to understand.
Yes, we will, Dave. And that passage is in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 22 to 27. So let's get right to our message.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
So, it says, I got up to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Shebar, and I fell on my face. Now, we're going to see again that God empowers those who humble themselves. Those who humble themselves before him. Ezekiel's reaction when confronted with the glory of the Lord standing there is to fall on his face, just like he did when he was seeing the glory of the Lord on the throne. You know, I don't think we fall on our faces, spiritually speaking, very much. We should be humbling ourselves before him. You know, Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. I think we have way too much pride. I think we lean on our understanding. We trust in ourselves. We rely on people rather than the Lord. We need to humble ourselves. So he fell on his face. The awesome God, Christ who was on his throne, above all, who sees all, whose way cannot be thwarted, whose commands are carried out perfectly and swiftly, harmonious without deviation, above all, holy, he will judge sin, he has condescended to stand before Ezekiel. Now, we know that God the Son took on human flesh. We know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that the Word, John 1:14, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know that God the Son, I believe, would appear, we see in the Old Testament, we see that we call it a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. I would say this is one of those pre-incarnate. It was the one who resembled a man on the throne, and now this one who resembled is standing before him. What else could Ezekiel do but fall on his face? Let's yield ourselves and bow. And then notice this, as he humbles himself before the one who is standing before him, the Lord himself, then verse 24 says, the Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet. You know what? You bow down and God's going to pick you up, right? Humble yourself, and he will exalt you at the proper time. He'll pick you up. The same thing happened in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We see it happens again where Ezekiel humbles himself, falls on his face, and the Spirit enters him and stands him on his feet. So Ezekiel's on his face, humbled before the glory of the Lord, and God raises him up by his Spirit. The Spirit enters him so he can hear and obey, I believe. You see, there is a time to worship, and we got the churches, worship, 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 worship. That's all you hear. It's time to bow down. It's time to stand up. God stands us up to obey and listen to his word and to do his will. Now, I believe this is also foreshadowing the fact that the Spirit is involved in the word of God coming forth. The Spirit entered me and made me stand on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me. This is foreshadowing some New Testament truth, I believe. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, no prophecy that has been recorded, Scripture, prophecy of Graphe, is of matters of one of interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. We know in John 16:13, Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. We need to have a right view and doctrine and understanding of the Holy Spirit. His role as God has chosen in his sovereignty within the Godhead is to reveal the truth that points to Christ so that Christ would be glorified. When you hear spirit, 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 run. Should be about Christ. Okay. Then the Spirit entered me, verse 24, and made me stand on my feet. He spoke with me. Now we know in Old Testament times, the Spirit came upon people to do specific tasks, to empower and anoint such as a king, David, whatever it might be, to others to do certain tasks. And here we have the Spirit entering him to empower him to stand on his feet to hear the word of God. Now we know something amazing has happened. It was a mystery. Something amazing has happened. When Christ came and he was rejected by the Jews, God's plan turned to the Gentiles. And the church, which was a mystery, was revealed. We are in the body of Christ. We are placed in by one Spirit. And we have the Spirit dwelling in us forever as a pledge. And we've been sealed. And indeed, we can't speak of him without his Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, hey, wait till the Spirit comes. Acts 1. And you'll be my witnesses. But wait, you need the Spirit of God. We need to be yielded to the Spirit of God before we can hear his word and if you're called to speak it. So my question is, do you want to serve God? You need to listen to him with humility. You need to come to him with a proper view of him, exalted and glorious. And yet he loves you and he gave himself for you. This is foundational. We must listen to him with humility. We need to take God's word seriously. So how can we accomplish this? Accomplish ministry. Notice we have the command here. And he spoke with me, verse 24 at the end, and said to me, go shut yourself up in your house. What kind of ministry is this? I thought I was going to be excited. We've got the glory of the Lord here. And something great is going to happen. And what does he command him to do? Go in your house and shut yourself up in there. So how can we accomplish this task? We need a right view of God with sin taken care of by confessing. We need to humble ourselves before him and listen. And then we need to know that regardless of the opposition that comes, God has allowed it, and we need to serve him and not be discouraged. Notice what it says. He shut himself up in his house. Look at verse 25. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. What's God saying? Who's the they here? I mean, the they is the exiles in whom he used to minister to. And he's being warned that they're not going to treat him so well. Guess what? Newsflash. If you are the Lord's, those who aren't the Lord's, who are pretending to be the Lord's, aren't going to treat you very well. They're going to flatter you. They're going to try to gain your advantage on you, but they're not going to treat you well. They, the exiles, they'll put ropes on you, bind you with them so you cannot go out. Remember what the Lord told him earlier. Look back in chapter 2, verse 6. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Obviously, they got little tongue missiles, right? They're going to be swords with their words, right? Jabbing them. The thistles and thorns are with you. That's them, by the way. And you son of scorpions, it's not fun. Neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you. And they will bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. Now the question is, are these literal ropes? There's a lot of teachers, you might look at their commentaries, I don't suggest you do that, just you just look at the word. They'll say all kinds of things. These are literal ropes, or these are figurative ropes, that Ezekiel will figuratively be bound. Well, that's great if the text says that, or it shows that, very strictly, but it really seems to be that they're going to tie him up. I mean, I need to take it literally here first, unless there's something to show that it is not literal. We use a literal, grammatical, historical method of interpretation that we might rightly divide the Word of God. But what's the result? Literal, figurative, the same thing. God is allowing the exiles to oppose him and bind him up in a sense. The opposition will inhibit him. It's going to mess with the ministry. It's going to inhibit you. What can we learn from this? Regardless of the opposition you face, recognize God is sovereign. He's going to use it for good, and he has a reason behind allowing it. He's God, we're not. Just trust him. So often we shy away from doing the right thing because of the opposition we might face. This shouldn't be so, because God has allowed it. He's sovereign, and he uses it. Remember what the Lord told Ezekiel earlier. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, that's the exiles, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or dismayed before them, for they are a rebellious house. Hey, God is going to strengthen you. He's going to give you the toughness you need to endure the bad guys that God is calling you to minister to. Does the opposition to what the Lord is calling you to dissuade you from obeying? Maybe it's opposition in your marriage. Maybe it's opposition at work. Opposition in church. Does that dissuade you from doing the right thing? God's allowing that opposition. You do the right thing. You trust Him. You see, we need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we know that our toil is not in vain in the Lord. So then how can we accomplish a difficult task in ministry? Like Ezekiel, we need to listen so that we might have an accurate view. We need to confess sin. We need to know that God empowers those who humble themselves before Him, that bow down before Him and see Him rightly. We need to obey regardless of the opposition. And lastly, we need to obey speaking His word. This is for those who are to speak, whether those called to speak or whether it's you in an individual circumstance. God is opening the door to share His word. We need to obey and speak His word, nothing more, nothing less, regardless of if they listen. This is pretty interesting what happens, what the Lord does with Ezekiel so that it's absolutely assured that what He says is God's word. Look at verse 26. Moreover, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be dumb and cannot be a man who rebukes them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you will say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. You're probably saying, I'm glad I'm not Ezekiel. It's a tough thing, right? But there's some important things here that we can learn from. He's talking about the fact he's going to make Ezekiel dumb. He's not going to be able to speak unless the Lord speaks through him. Ezekiel on his own is not going to be able to rebuke them. Guess what? When you are ministering and you see the rebelliousness of people, you want to lash out at those rebels. You want to strike the rock, right? Listen here, you rebels. Well, here he says, moreover, I'll make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you'll be dumb. Flip to Ezekiel 33, because he's going to be dumb for almost 8 years. A long time. And again, dumb doesn't mean mentally diminished. It's speaking of unable to speak. Ezekiel 33:21. Now it came about in the 12th year of our exile, that's 586 B.C., on the 5th of the 10th month, the refugees from Jerusalem came to me saying, the city has been taken. Hey, that 18-month siege is over. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me that evening. Remember this? Hand of the Lord upon him that evening before the refugees came. And he opened my mouth at the time they came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened. I was no longer speechless. For about almost 8 years, Ezekiel could say nothing but what God called him to say. That should be instructive to those of you who have teaching gifts. We're to speak what God calls us to say. We're to speak His word, to preach His word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. When you go to share with somebody, it's not up to your wisdom and ways. Share the word of God. Now, yes, it comes in a context. We have conversations. We're not robots throwing verses and paper at people. There's a context, but share the word of God. The only time he can speak is when God speaks the word through him. Wow, if our warnings were like that, we'd save some trouble. So, Ezekiel here, notice what he says here. One of the reasons, there's two reasons, twofold, but why is he not to speak? One, so that you cannot be a man who rebukes them. The obvious reason is so it's only God's word, right? The secondary reason here we see is that says, so that you'll be dumb and cannot be a man that rebukes them for their rebellious house. God was to be the one who reproves them, not Ezekiel. We want to be the reprovers of everybody. Sometimes you get the reprover church. They're running around reproving everybody, checking everybody's fruit, doing everything. You know what? You follow the Lord. If the Lord opens a door because of love for someone and you see sin and it's not love covering that multitude of sin, that it's continuing on and you want to obey the Lord righteously in His word for their good, that's different. So here, he's not to be rebuking them. And I believe there's a great temptation to reprove people who are rebellious in your own wisdom and strength and timing. Boy, it's a great temptation for we as believers. It's a great temptation to do that. And he's saying, you're going to, tongue's going to stick to your mouth so that you can't do that because they're a rebellious house. The Lord is the one who's going to warn. The Lord is the one who's going to share it. This is where we fall short. This is where we err. And we need to allow, we need to remember this. Lord, close my mouth that I wouldn't reprove when you are not doing it through me. Ezekiel was to share the word of God, and he would only be able to share it when God opened his mouth. Remember, he was to warn, verse 17 of chapter 3, Son of man, I've appointed you as a watcher into the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Then look at verse 27. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, thus says the Lord. This is 100% God's word coming out when he opens his mouth. Thus says the Lord. No room for Ezekiel's opinion, no room for our opinion. Peter makes this point clear for those who have speaking gifts. If you speak, speak as it were the very utterances of God. 1 Peter 4:10. Our churches would be radically changed if pastors just spoke God's word. Radically changed. But you have to reject your own wisdom and your own understanding and your own pride to do so. You call to preach, preach in season and out of season. Now notice, at the end of our chapter now we have this interesting phrase, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse. I think this is going to gain insight into what God is doing through his word coming forth. Help us gain insight. See, because we think we got it all figured out. We act as little gods in the way we present Jesus or whatever it might be. God is saying here, he who hears, let him hear. He refuses, let him refuse. The word refuse is an interesting word, shadal. It means to refuse to listen. It speaks of an active action, refusing to listen, and thus a refusal to obey. An active refusal to listen. For example, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, this has the word apatheo. It speaks of disobedience or refusal to obey. Basic phrase is, he who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse. This is similar to some of the things that the Lord Jesus shared. Similar to what we see in the book of Revelation. In the Gospels, 8 times, Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. John would say, in relaying his words in Revelation to the churches, 7 times, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We see this concept at the end of Revelation 22:11, let the one who does wrong, it's the concept behind this, still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. Let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. So what does God mean by this statement in our passage? He who hears, let him hear. He refuses, let him refuse. I believe he's saying, like he does in the end of Revelation, let the word do its work, confirming where people's hearts truly are, revealing where people's hearts are. Let the word do the work. Those who are his, let them hear. Those who are not his, let them refuse, all the way to the end. I think that's what's being said here. Let the Lord, through his word, Ezekiel, do its work confirming where the person who hears is truly at in relationship with the Lord. He who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse. We have a problem. We don't want people to refuse, so we try to change things so that they might not appear to be refusing. There's a whole bunch of churches full of refusers that have people that have softened that so it doesn't appear that they're refusing. He who has ears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse. If you're the Lord, he's willing you to obey his word. If you hear his voice today, obey him. But if you're in rebellion towards God, unwilling to respond, he refuses, let him refuse. Exposes your rebellion. Notice what he says, end of verse 27, for they are a rebellious house. Yes, we love people, we want them saved, but we need to love the Lord more and leave it in his hands. He's God, we're not. So what's the point here? Seek to speak God's word when you hear it, and that's all you can do, by the way. We should learn from that. So pastors and teachers, are you willing to speak God's word whether they listen or not? Are you willing to recognize that God is using his word to affirm who hears and let him hear, and those who refuse, refuse? You see, this passage exposes the gambit of evangelical churches and seeker-sensitive stuff. It exposes the false teachers and deceived brethren who have bought into the lie that think they must entertain people in church through man's wisdom and ways rather than sharing God's word, rather they listen or not. Listen to some scriptures as we close to finishing here. Turn to Isaiah 55. What great pride for people to think our ways of doing things are going to make people respond rather than sharing God's word. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's the foundation there. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout, this is Isaiah 55, middle verse 10, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Let them hear. If they can hear, if they refuse, let them refuse. What about Hebrews 4:12? For the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. One last passage. Turn with me to Jeremiah 23. Let's just obey the Lord, right? Pastors, teachers. Jeremiah 23, verse 28. The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. That's the big part there. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters rock? Therefore, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare the Lord declares. Behold, I'm against those who prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them, and led my people astray by their falsehood and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor did they furnish the people the slightest benefit. Let him who has my word speak my word. So how can we accomplish the difficult task, the ministry of the word? First of all, we need to obey the Lord. We need to obey humbly. We need to know that he will empower us when we humble ourselves before him. We need to listen to him. We need to obey regardless of the opposition, knowing that he's allowed it. We need to speak his word, nothing more, nothing less. And we need to recognize his word will affirm those who are his and those who aren't. Let him who hears hear, let him who refuses refuse. It's in God's hands. Stop taking sovereignty away from God and just preach God's word. Now I pray some of you listening today are not refusing him. I pray you're convicted if you are, and that you would listen. He declares to all men everywhere that they should repent, because there's a judgment day. Turn to Jesus, believe in him, and be saved. And then for us, if you're called to preach his word, humbly rely on him, listen to it and preach it. Share his word. Leave everything in his hands. Just obey him. And congregations, get under preachers who are preaching his word and obeying him, like we see in Ezekiel's prophecy.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, your message today carried some very important truth for us. Take just a moment and review maybe just a couple of the highlights for us.
Well, Dave, as we've seen, ministry is difficult. And the only way that we can get through it and do what God calls us to do is, first of all, obey the Lord humbly by faith, trusting him, doing what he says. And secondly, we need to know that he's going to empower us when we humble ourselves before him. And within that, we need to hear his word, listen to it, and then regardless of the opposition, do what he says, allowing his word to work mightily in your heart. Well, what a wonderful passage, and we're not done with this study of Ezekiel, so make plans to join us in our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.